Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's AEW Dynamite on TNT.
All right, Javier, I want to start off the show tonight with just a question. Just a simple question to get us going. Javier, when do you think CM Punk will win the AEW World Championship? Go.
I don't know. I mean, if Cole ends up with it, I think he might win it off Cole. I don't think he wins it off of I think it's a bad idea if they have him go up against Paige, for Paige. So for Paige's sake. So, unless there's a speed bump along the way, maybe he takes a big loss between now and when he's about to get it. That's another thing that they can do if they want to divert that to something else. I think he ends up winning it. I just don't know when. I would say
is your gut like sooner than later, or is this the start, that promo, a start of a long, long-term kind of ride?
I mean, I don't have a feeling either way. Cause I mean, you could do a long term thing, have him win it against somebody else. But the thing is that he's an established name and he's an established guy. You don't really need to build him up. And I don't think you have to do the him chasing thing. I think him with the title fending off heels would probably be a better thing. So I'd lean towards get it on him soon. Maybe have Cole win it from Paige, and then like pretty much just drop it, you know, as a transitional champion, and then drop it to CM Punk, and then basically just, you know, have Punk hold it until it goes back to Kenny Omega or something.
Yeah. So I bring this up because I thought tonight was a really interesting night for the AEW World Championship because you had a lot going on. I mean, you had CM Punk, I mean, pretty much in that promo, put it on the line, like in a babyface way. Hey, I'm coming for that AEW World Championship. Doesn't matter if it's Adam Cole. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, the Hangman Adam Page. I'm going to be staring down the barrel of some cowboy shit. I mean, that was a really babyface style promo, which I thought was effective, except that you have this babyface champion right now in Adam Page that's kind of, I don't want to say like running on fumes as champion, but like just seems to not be the number one focus of the company as the world champion. And so we'll get into that in a second. But then the third element is you have Adam Cole out there too, you know, holding, stealing the belt, you know, cutting a promo in the ring about how he's deserves to be the champion. So you've got like a lot happening tonight on the show regarding the title picture and everybody trying to like plant their flags. Is this an indictment on Adam Page? Like the concerted effort to get CM Punk, the babyface, into the world title picture. Do you read that as, hey, you know, CM Punk's the hotter act. He's been a part of the hottest angle and the hottest story of the company in 2022 thus far. He gets the biggest pops. He does the best business. Like, you know, that's our champion, you know, and Adam Page just isn't that guy right now. You know, or is it just, hey, you know, we want Punk to be around the title picture, even if he isn't going to be champion. How much of this is an indictment on Adam Page?
I don't know if indictment is the right word to use because that seems a bit stiff. I think it's more about how they book their storylines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because how many things happened today? Like 90? And that didn't stand out more than anything else. So true. You know, so and that's been that would be my biggest criticism about AEW, where WWE puts a hyper focus on a handful of storylines. In AEW is far in the opposite direction, where everything, like the spotlight, is too diffuse. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, you, I mean, seriously, the thing that they did with Cole and Paige today basically just, you know, blended into the background with everything else that was going on. And if I have one, you know, the one criticism I have for AEW is the fact that the championships do not feel important for the most part. It's whatever storyline they're currently pushing. So if they're pushing a world heavyweight title storyline, like when it was Paige and Kenny Omega, then yeah, that's a little bit more on the front burner. But nothing that they've done with Hangman Page has really felt like he's ever been on the front burner. So I don't think, I mean, someone hotter would be able to overcome that to some degree, but it's more that I don't think the booking is doing him any favors either.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think you're spot on with that analysis. Maybe indictment was a little harsh. It's just, it's hard to, you know, I think it's booking, but I don't want to like not put some of the responsibility on Adam Page either. Like, I know he's playing like the kind of the laid back babyface, and the babyface who's, you know, a man of the people. Like, I get that that's the character, but I think I've been waiting for Adam Page to show some of the kind of the alpha champion nature, you know, throughout his run here. And there's been little, you know, hints of it here and there. I think you saw some of it in the Danielson feud, but I think instead of evolving as a character from the story arc that brought him to the championship and then, you know, using that win to evolve some more, it's kind of like the character development stagnated right there. When he's trying to be the champion, but also kind of this laid back guy that's kind of finding his way. And I think that's hurting his appeal as a champion. We'll get other caller opinions on this too. But, you know, when you hear me say that, are you like, Zach, that's an awful take, or, hey, there's something to that?
No, you're on the right track. And again, it's because of, he really should be plastered all over the show. He should be,
yes,
you know, he should be, you know, on commentary on occasion with when CM Punk was coming out, or you know, scouting talent, stuff like that. Early on, when NWA first launched, they had their champion Aldis basically come out during every segment, and I found him out. This is kind of weird. But then by the, you know, couple weeks in, I'm like, okay, this guy's the champion. He owns this place.
Right,
and
right.
He just doesn't feel like he owns this place, a Hangman Page. So, and I think that, you know, and again, there's some talents that are going to overcome that just because of who they are. You know, CM Punk is going to stand out. Moxley, Brian, a lot of that's because of the cachet they've built up. Hangman Page is just, you know, he hasn't he hasn't really built that, you know, oh crap, we got to watch him, for me in any case. I know some people are already all in on him and are probably like yelling me right now, like, you know, Eric, I could hear you yell.
Yeah, Eric is screaming at the
yeah,
the phone.
Eric Kroll. But yeah, so I'm, you know, so I, but that's the thing. That's how I felt, how I feel about it. And I think it's like early on, they had less talent, so it felt like they had more time. And he doesn't really seem to be getting that time right now. And, you know, at least on the stuff I watch, I don't know if in any of the ancillary broad, you know, stuff that they do, they're doing anything with them, like
yeah.
BTE, or I haven't, you know, I'm behind on Rampage. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, and I think, you know, putting it on CM Punk, you could book the way that you do. And then that would, you know, stand out because, you know, CM Punk is definitely on a different level.
Yeah. Yeah. You said at the top of the show, hey, I wouldn't do CM Punk versus Adam Page. Just expand on that.
It's just I think that the crowd's going to end up more likely glomming onto CM Punk than Hangman Page, and you can see the crowd turn on him. When they were what was the Revolution, when they were down in Orlando or up in Orlando from my perspective. You know, I went up there and there, you know, there was some booing during the main event. It was more because people didn't want him to be cheating like he did. And then, you know, he apologized in the after. But even though it was, you know, it could be misconstrued, because, I mean, in the conversation after that, it felt like it was misconstrued that people were turning on him. I think it was just on his actions that day. But if some people who were talking about it, you know, felt that way, that could snowball out of control. And I think if you put CM Punk against Hangman Page, I think you basically end up with the crowd turning on Hangman Page, and then, you know, and maybe that'll work. If you turn him heel, maybe that will work, but we will see.
Yeah, I agree. And it also, you know, naturally will, you know, dilute CM Punk's, the reaction to him too, because there's going to be some Page fans, you know, that are going to side with him in that match. And I think it creates an awkward environment. So well said. Let's pause right there and set up the show, and then we will take some calls, read some emails, and get through, you know, what was a pretty busy show. You know, we had the debut of Toni Storm, which I definitely want to make sure we chat about, development in the Chris Jericho Appreciation Group and Eddie Kingston stable storyline, and some pretty interesting movement on the FTR character as well. So we'll get to all that, but we'll set up the show here first. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the March 30th, 2022 edition of AEW Dynamite. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Hador filling in for Wade tonight. Wade will be on the VIP side of things later on, running down the show on the Wade Keller Hotline. Give us a shot, guys. pwtorch.com/govip. This is the time to do it. We've got a ton of great content up right now, and will be from now until through WrestleMania weekend on all things WrestleMania, but not just WrestleMania either. We'll have shows and reports and podcasts on the GCW events that are happening down in Dallas, Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan show this weekend as well. So lots and lots of wrestling, and we've got you covered on the VIP side of things all weekend long. So give us a shot, pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice you hear with me tonight is that of Javier Machado from pwtorch.com and from the New Japan Pride podcast. Javier, great to talk to you, man.
Hey, Zach, good talking to you. Podcast currently on hiatus, but also the primer for WrestleMania that will be out soon. So you could, if you have people who, you know, generally don't watch the product, I try to leave like a one oftentimes run-on sentence of what they should, you know, why this match is happening.
Those primers are can't miss, guys. Really, they are. And they'll go up with plenty of time on pwtorch.com for you guys to catch up and get kind of get your fix before WrestleMania weekend. So check that out coming soon at pwtorch.com. We'll open up the phone lines here, 347-215-8558. That is 347-215-8558. If you're in the queue there, make sure you've pressed 1 to let me know that you want to get on the show. And if you don't want to get on the show, but you're listening, but want to contribute via email, it's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. And with that said, we will go to the first caller of the night, Reverend Keith. I believe this is you. Reverend Keith, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you. What'd you think of AEW Dynamite tonight?
I thought it was an interesting show. I have to admit, I actually thought that Athena, formerly Ember Moon, was going to be the surprise, but I know the rumors were Toni Storm. She looked great. My only point of the night to you guys, and I'm going to raise a question, is what do you think her ceiling will be? Do you think she will be like the cream rising to the top, or do you think that she will be like mid-card? Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a great evening.
Thanks for making it, Reverend Keith. Great great question, great topic as always, and good to hear from you. Yeah, Javier, so we have the debut of Toni Storm tonight. Storm left WWE a handful of months ago now. Makes her debut tonight against the Bunny in a Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament qualifying match. Gets the win, and so we'll be moving on to the tournament here in a couple weeks. I'm a big fan of Toni Storm. I think she has just a real sharp, natural charisma about her. And I covered the first ever Mae Young Classic for pwtorch.com, although, you know, 5 years ago now. And she stood out then, and I think she still stands out today. So as far as her ceiling goes, I think it's really high in AEW. Like, you know, put the women's championship on her and make her a top babyface and let her go and just kind of run the division at some point. I think she has that in her. She can deliver in the ring. She's got, you know, like I said, a natural charisma that I think the audiences are drawn to. She can bring it on the microphone too. So I think she kind of checks a lot of boxes and adds a real nice layer to that women's division is in AEW. So I'm high on her, and I think the ceiling is really high too. Javier, what about you?
Yeah, before I forget to mention, I think Tony Khan needs to buy Motley Crue music and probably give her Kickstart My Heart or something, and that would be just
good call.
Perfect. Because I know she also has some attachment to that band, so that would be perfect for her character. I'm a fan of her style. I like her. I'm a rocker person, so I dig her, and yeah, I think she fits in on at the top and one of the people in the mix for the title.
Yeah, right away. And I think Tony Khan has to be real careful to make sure that she's if that's what he thinks of her. Like, I think he has to make sure to position her that way and keep her positioned that way long term. I mean, you saw right out of the gate with Ruby Soho. She comes in great debut at All Out, gets a huge match, main event of the Arthur Ashe Show against Britt Baker for the AEW Women's title. And then it kind of, you know, fell off the cliff for whatever reason. And I think you want to keep momentum with Toni Storm. I mean, let her do her thing. Like, this shouldn't be debut in a big way and then fall into the background kind of thing. Like, I really think you've got some intriguing matchups up and down the division with her. I mean, you've got the Britt Baker matchup, obviously. Serena Deeb is somebody that stands out that could have, a really good match. Sheeta, Nyla Rose. I mean, it kind of – and then you can go back to Ruby Soho too, and you can have that match with her too. So there's a lot of options there. And if you keep her positioned in the right way and in the right light, I think that she's the talent that I think can really transform that division.
And I think she's the most likely one to topple Jade would be –
Yes. Oh, good. Right. That's another one. Great call. Yeah. Yeah. So what trajectory do you put her on? Like, okay, we've established, all right, treat her as a big deal, but is this, okay, she's going to just, you know, win the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, or this is maybe she loses that, but is just launched into a feud, you know, with Britt Baker. Like, I mean, where do you take her to get the most out of her right now?
Well, I mean, one of the possibilities is she ends up being the one that takes out Jade.
Okay.
Would be, yeah. So that's considering you have Thunder Rosa on the other side. The other thing, if you want to go to the women's title, then, you know, yeah, probably a feud with Baker, you know, to on her way there, that could be one of, a non-title feud along the way to build it if you're going to spend a little bit, you know, longer period of time. But, you know, Thunder Rosa is a baby face. Don't know if you want to, you know, lose it for her. I think it'll she has TBS title, I think would be, in that mix for now, I think would be the more likely place, I think, just because of, you know, how all the pieces are positioned for the moment.
Yeah. 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 I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's good to, like, Sean Radican made this point on Twitter, and I agreed wholeheartedly, and it's attaching to your point about letting things breathe on the show. The camera, right after the match that Toni Storm had, right after the victory, caught her for like a split second, kind of like getting emotional and like telling the crowd thank you. And Radican said on Twitter, like, hey, that's a perfect example of a moment that you want to let breathe a little bit, like show her having that emotional moment with the fans and show, you know, the fans having that reaction back to her. Because I think, number one, it just genuinely creates a really cool moment for the television show at that very minute. But also, I think it tells people that are watching at home that may not know who Toni Storm is, like, hey, she's a big deal. Look at all these fans that are reacting to her so passionately. She's reacting back. And instead, they kind of touched on it for a quick second, but then, you know, in AEW fashion, they jumped right over to something else. I think that's an example of what you're talking about. Like, let that thing breathe a little bit. Let that linger. Let people feel that moment.
Yeah, I mean, and that ties into the occasional issues that we discussed about not selling in the ring.
Yes, right.
You know, it's what it is. I mean, you know, they book for the attention deficit crowd, and let's move on. You know, if something's not happening, if something's not blowing up, if something's not flashing in, you know, in your face, you know, and you're afraid you're going to lose the audience. And, you know, and I think – and that's trained some of the audience to actually, you know, expect that. So the moment that you do have a lull, they're checking their phones or doing something else, you know? Hello?
I'm on mute. I'm sitting here on mute because they've got – there's some kind of police activity outside the house right now. So I'm trying to – mute in and out of sirens, but I'm back. Thanks
this
for calling me
second,
out on it.
Where do you live, man? This is like the second time this has happened.
Yeah. I thought I lived in a safe neighborhood, but maybe not.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh. All right. Anyway, let's get back to the phones here. 586. This is Shane from Detroit. Shane, thanks for calling. What'd you think of AEW Dynamite tonight?
Yeah. Hey, Zach. Hey, Javier. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
Good, good. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great episode of Dynamite. Do you think they loaded the card a little bit, being that it is Mania week, or do you think that was just a normal Dynamite for them?
Javier, what do you think?
Mostly a normal Dynamite for the most part, because it didn't really feel like anything big really happened. It was just a lot of good matches. You know, and sometimes they'll have weeks where they're like that and weeks where it's more important stuff happening. But I think we're a bit ways off for anything major that they've got planned, any major, you know, like either big name pay-per-views or the TNT shows or pay-per-views, that sort of nature. So it feels like more like, you know, early stuff. They're building up early stuff and, you know, just gave us a bunch of good matches. But, yeah, it was just a lot of it, too.
I agree. I think, and it stood out watching the show where it's like, hey, okay, they didn't phone this show in because it's WrestleMania week. I think they wanted to put on clearly an entertaining show from a wrestling perspective. But yeah, it didn't have like signature big angles that the company wants people to be talking about for the next week, because I think Tony Khan knows, and it's a smart thing to recognize, that people just won't be this week with WrestleMania coming up this weekend. There's no reason to try to combat that, like put on a good show, put on a good wrestling show with good matches. And then, you know, save your big storyline points for after WrestleMania. So I recognize that. I thought the show was good, very good from a wrestling perspective. But I just think it was smart to hold off on some of that stuff because, you know, come tomorrow, it's just not going to, It just won't play due to everything else that's happening in the wrestling world this week. Shane, what do you think? Did you like the show, right?
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic show. I mean, they always put on really good shows. You know, I noticed just that they had separated Moxley and Bryan Danielson's matches, and they kept them away from each other. And I thought that was kind of interesting, the end with Lethal versus the beginning where Moxley wouldn't shake his hand, and then at the end Moxley was like, you know, I want to shake your hand. I thought it was a nice touch, and then a contrast to the end of Bryan's match where, you know, it was ramping up and more, you know, I'm getting away from you. So, and then I noticed also they really told a lot of stories tonight with FTR specifically. Do you think that might be because of the pay-per-view this week on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we did see quite a bit of development with them. I mean, you saw not only, like, the seeds further kind of get planted between them and like MJF and them breaking away from him. But then you also saw them kind of reset, you know, for them, hey, we want to just get back to being the best, and we want Young Bucks versus FTR too. What do you guys think? And like, you know, so there's a lot going on there, Javier. Talk about just their either momentum or lack thereof from tonight, and then whether or not you think that it's because of the Supercard of Honor event coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, FTR seems like they have a lot of irons in the fire with the ROH thing. They also made a point. They pointed out the AAA titles that they have, and then they have the Young Bucks thing, and then they also are part of the whole Pinnacle thing going on. I think that they're setting up for a break with the Pinnacle. Obviously, they've looks like that's been highlighted with both the early promo that with MJF taking them for granted, and then you know, again in the after the match. So that looks like that's going to go away. I get the impression that they're, you know, particularly after the two interviews that they had with Renee, that they're pivoting them towards you know, more babyface role. One of them cheating by holding, by trying to hold the tights, notwithstanding. But I think that's the direction they're going to end up going. And I'm actually interested. I wonder if they actually win the RH title so they can then, you know, be carrying around a whole bunch of titles, since apparently the narrative for FTR right now is to prove that they're the best tag team in the world. So, you know, going through the Young Bucks, beating the Young Bucks, and then winning the titles with the AEW titles, and then carrying the ROH titles and the AAA titles. Maybe show up in Impact and go capture those two. You know, just, you know, carry all that stuff.
I like them tonight quite a bit, actually. I think they kind of like found their own voice a bit, that I think, you know, not that it was like completely missing, but they were, you know, I don't know, background players in the Pinnacle, and just haven't been as relevant as they felt tonight in quite some time. And I think a lot of that is because they kind of just redefined themselves a bit. They got back to the roots of them as an act, which really is just the wrestling and being the best tag team in the world. So I liked what they did there. I thought they were able to convey that story and that mindset with their promo. I thought that was good. The one little nugget that I had with the with calling themselves like, hey, we want to take on the Young Bucks to determine who's the best the best tag team in the world, and I kind of was like, oh boy, that's kind of a shot at your at Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus a bit, because it's like, wait a minute, you know, they got the tag team titles. Neither one of you guys, Young Bucks or FTR, don't have those. I would be careful with that in future promos, just not to, you don't want to drive those AEW tag team titles down and make them seem that FTR and Young Bucks just fighting in general is above those championships. But I thought it was a really good night for them overall. I just think you want to be careful not to bury the tag division. Javier, any comments on that?
Well, I'm not actually as, you know, hung up on the whole, you know, that thing when it comes, you know, the best tag team needs to hold the titles, because, you know, there are years where the best football team in football doesn't win the Super Bowl, you know, you know, so that happens. So, and I mean, the problem is that, like, I could see the Young Bucks make that claim. FTR, I don't know. Because I mean, my initial experience with FTR was in NXT, so I don't know what they've done outside of NXT, outside of NAW now. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily a claim that they can make, but it's a claim they can make once they win, you know, RA title, they already have AAA, they win, you know, and then they win the AEWs, and that's a claim they could make. And, you know, I mean, and then they beat the Young Bucks, claim they're number one team, and then, you know, the Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy go, well, you know, you may claim that, but we're the championship, and then, you know, that's how you build the match between the two of them, and then, you know, then solve it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point on the football team. That's a good counter argument for sure. Shane, to directly answer the question that you had, I think, the fact that FTR is wrestling at Supercard of Honor against the Briscoes is, kind of an added bonus here and a little bit of it, more of an extension of the reach that they have as a team. I think you'd be getting this same storyline anyway. And I think the fact that they're going to wrestle at Supercard of Honor in a major tag team match with the ROH titles on the line in kind of like this, first ever dream match is kind of icing on the cake that just so happens to time out nicely. And maybe they expedited it a little bit so that it does line up. But I think you'd be seeing them pushed in this way. Anyway, but back to you, Shane, any other comments on what we said or something else entirely?
Yeah, no, I mean, so a lot of what you said actually is in line with my last point. And, I was thinking as you were talking about them winning all three tag titles, it'd be a perfect time for Matt and Jeff to go broken again and then do their expedition for gold and just do it all in one match. But anyways, with them bringing in Ring of Honor, last time I talked, I talked with Wade about, if they could possibly bring any more belts into AEW. And there was talk about the trios tag titles, which they have the 6-man Ring of Honor. Do you think that has anything to do with maybe why they're doing more factions lately? Like why you don't see Adam Cole even as much for Dark Order as now as Jurassic Express and building up some of these factions for?
Javier, what do you think?
You're asking if there are more factions now because early on everybody, that was the joke that everybody was in the faction. I think that died down a little bit and now you're starting to see a little bit more of it with them highlighting it. And I think they're also they're obviously shifting a lot of factions around where, Jericho is, no more Inner Circle. Now it's the Jericho Appreciation Society. Pinnacle is probably going to also disintegrate and then maybe he might reform it. With different wrestlers, the House of Black stuff, that's a new one that's come in. And I think it's because since a ton of new talent has come in, they haven't been filtered into a team yet. into a faction yet. I'm at the point where I'm like, just have more people per faction and less factions because I'm losing track.
Yeah. I'm so torn. I'm torn on the trios title thing. Like I understand, conceptually why they make sense. You got teams of three. What's wrong with that? And nothing is my answer. It's just I guess I just don't know. How I think you have to create like a really strong difference between the trios titles and the tag titles since they're just so similar. You're just adding one person. And so I have a hard time wrapping my head around like how effective that can be long-term and how you can make those championships really matter in a company where you already have, quite a few titles. Now, Javier, the fact that Ring of Honor has those championships already, it could be why, Tony Khan has held off amidst, there's been rumors for a while that those belts were coming and, maybe they will now just as, with the ROH name on them potentially, and they can kind of cross promotions. I don't know, but it'd be kind of counterproductive to have them in Ring of Honor and AEW. That's just a lot of belts.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally the trios titles or, three man titles, they've just been like the least important one, in New Japan. It's just, sometimes you would forget who have it. It's just an excuse to book like a C tier main event, that sort of thing. I'm not super opposed. I'm also not for, cause ultimately it's just going to be a crutch for I'm not sure crutch is the right word, but just something to use for booking, you know, to help you
right.
book, you know, matches. And the thing is that, you know, they've done stories with, you know, faction warfare, which I think, you know, draws people where a title's not necessary when you're talking about 3-on-3. And if you do have groups that are 3-on-3, I just think that two members should go after the title and the tag titles, and the other member should be going after a single title.
I agree. I think that's really well said. And it's like, you know, a lot of times right now you have your, like, the six-man matches that we're seeing, like, include a lot of the tag teams, you know? It's not like there's just exclusive factions, like, trios factions that are just that and only wrestling is that. So you'd have to dodge that a little bit too, but we'll see. I mean, Ring of Honor's had them for quite some time, so it'll be interesting to see if those get integrated over or not. But Shane, I think it's a good call up. That's for sure. Anything else for us tonight, Shane?
No, I will say really quick. Tony Khan did say he's planning on bringing in trios titles. He was hoping to do it when Omega was healthy or is back. You know, I know he said that on videos, so I don't see them necessarily doing two sets of trios titles, but, you know, it makes you wonder what their plan is going to be, or if maybe it's like an interbrand. But otherwise, that's all I got for tonight. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it, Shane. Appreciate it. Great stuff. Talk to you soon. All right. We'll continue on here, and we'll head over to Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, always a pleasure. What did you think of AEW Dynamite tonight?
It's always a exciting show and always filled with surprises.
That's for sure, man. What questions you got tonight?
My first question is on Chris Jericho. I'm doing the sports entertainer gimmick. I believe Mick Foley did something very similar in ECW, not necessarily a sports entertainer, but I believe he worked like WWE style by like doing a lot of like mat work and like headlocks. And the way that storyline ended was he went to WWF. So could that possibly be how this storyline ends?
I mean, could be. I mean, never say never. I think, you know, Chris Jericho is, you know, first of all, the way that guy Javier can reinvent himself and stay fresh over and over and over again is pretty darn special. Like I think it makes him stand out as a star in wrestling. So he has that going for him on the art side of things. But Chris Jericho is also a businessman. You know, I mean, he knows the business. I think he knows his worth. And I think he's going to get it somewhere. So if that means, you know, more with AEW, that's what it means. I think if that means a return to WWE, I think that's what it means. I don't think, no matter what happens, I just don't think we've seen the last of Chris Jericho in WWE in some fashion. I mean, I see him in that Hall of Fame, doing a Hall of Fame speech someday. I don't think he's burned those bridges. Javier, and you know, will it be part of this story? That's tough to say. I don't think we've seen the last of him in WWE, though. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we at this point. I don't know if we'll see him wrestle, but we'll definitely see him. You know, accept the, you know, at, like I said, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And maybe a Legends contract down the road. Maybe, you know, depending on, you know, if he's interested in that sort of thing. But outside of that, you know, maybe one final run, you know, like, or one final match, like how Batista had before he, you know, got inducted, that sort of thing, maybe one more, you know, storyline. But I don't think we're going to be seeing him, like, you know, like have a comeback like Edge, you know, the WWE, you know, where he's, you know, wrestling, you know, mostly or semi full time, you know, the pay-per-views. But, you know, yeah.
What do you think of the gimmick that he's adopting right now? I mean, they tried hard tonight with the beatdown segment to make sure that group has Edge. Like, I think that was like a central goal and objective of the angle tonight. It's like, it's not just like funny, haha, Chris Jericho, oh, I'm a sports entertainer. It's yeah, that, but also we're going to destroy you in the ring. So, I mean, did you like the angle tonight? And what do you think of his character and the faction right now.
Man, I was hoping that Homicide and Hernandez were going to show up there during that beatdown, man.
That would have been, yes. Wow.
That would have been awesome. I was like, you know, I don't know what the status of the Forbidden Door is. I heard it's kind of, you know, currently locked up a bit. But if they could just license out LAX, you know, just license it. You know, if Impact's not doing anything with the name, just, you know, have Homicide and Hernandez show up and, you know, a big LAX faction, return the LAX. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I could see why they broke up Inner Circle, because the members of Inner Circle will only be able to grow so much, you know they won't be able to outgrow Jericho if they're part of a group with Jericho. So I understand why Sammy Guevara and Santana Ortiz left the group, and he kept Swagger because Swagger's not going to, you know, Swagger's just going to be a muscle guy anyway. And then bring him in with 2.0. It makes sense because I don't think 2.0 is like the people that you are building. If that in that group, I think I keep getting Dante Martin and is that who's in the group, or is it the other guy?
No, it's Daniel Garcia.
Daniel Garcia. I for some reason I keep the two. Garcia is the one that you're building in that group. So I don't think you're building the other two guys. So, you know, this is more of a spotlight on Jericho solo with a bunch of people, you know, behind him, with probably Garcia being the one that could, you know, be built out of that. So, and you know, the gimmick is cute, doing the whole sports entertainer, and we're the sports, you know, sports entertainer better than wrestlers, and you know, that whole thing, it's kind of cute. I mean, I'm waiting for them to turn the page to see what the next thing is before I, like, you know, I'm intrigued, but I'm just not, like, you know, I don't love it, but I'm like, I'm not turning off the channel, and I'm like, I want to see where this goes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's fair. I think it's something that, like, if they're not careful, can cross the line and just habitually be too cute, you know? And so it's that instead of something serious, to your point, that can help get, you know, somebody like Garcia over to the next level. They got to be careful with that. And that's why I thought tonight was interesting, because it felt like a concerted effort to get over the fact that, hey, yeah, this isn't just, you know, cutesy fun, ha ha time. But we're, you know, we're going to beat you up. And, I mean, is this, Javier, something that they can, I mean, can they drag out the feud that's in place now, Jericho's group against Kingston's group? Is that something that can last all the way to Double or Nothing, or pay it off possibly at a blood and guts type environment, or, you know, how much legs does this have right now?
Depends if Kingston's group gets any backup. Cause if they're out, you know, overwhelmed for a bit and then, you know, suffer because of that, and then, like, you know, they get bailed out or something. You know, that's one of the ways. I don't know when would the next pay-per-view be?
End of May is when it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably might want to have something pay off, or at least like a signpost, like a, you know, some major, you know, turning point or something along the way. So, I mean, without that, you're not going to make it to May.
Ryan, back to you. What's your second question for us tonight?
My second question is on the Owen Hart tournament. I feel it's a little bit similar maybe to King of the Ring. So my question is, do you think the winner will be more like King Mabel and Billy Gunn, or will they be more like Triple H and Kurt Angle and Steve Austin, and that they're the future of the company instead of just someone that's like a flash in the pan?
Good question. Real good question. I think that – two things. One, I think, but also Tony Khan, when he speaks about this tournament, has made it seem like it's going to be a regular big deal and a regular part of AEW's calendar year, and something they focus on, like a great deal on. And so if that's the case, I think you want your winner of this each year to get something significant, whether that's, you know, just a push or a title opportunity. I don't think that they're going to use this as a launching pad, I think, or not even as a launching pad, but just with current big stars too. I think that's important. Javier, this, the take that I get is, and the vibe that I get is they want this to matter. You know, Owen Hart's, you know, name and likeness and brand has been protected for so long. And now, you know, Tony Khan is a really, like, I think he's going to take extra care and be careful with what he does with that. And I think he wants to make this matter. So I'm looking forward to this tournament and seeing not only who's in it, but, you know, what are the stakes? What is everybody wrestling for? So I very much see it more as like a elevation type mechanism, not just a, hey, let's fill some time with the tournament type thing. Javier, what about you?
I mean, my initial gut reaction is the first one's going to be a major one. I think that whoever wins is going to be like what's going to propel whatever your main storyline is going to be. I think once you get that one out of the way, I think it'll be more likely something like how the New Japan Cup every year basically has like essentially all the stars in it, but the person who seems to always win it is one of the people that's just like on the edge of the top guys. This year was Zack Sabre Jr. Correct? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
I'm really behind on my New Japan right now. So and then that person gets a title shot. So, and he's someone who's always like on this cusp of the top guys, but not there. So I would see that going forward, you'd probably end up seeing like your when they're ready to move on with Powerhouse Hobbs if they do or Darby Allin or MJF. I could see MJF winning one of these things, that kind of thing, to propel him to the next level, or to have, you know, give someone gravitas to, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, the winner's going to get a title or a title shot or something along those lines.
Yeah. I think that's pretty spot on. And if it ends up getting the, if they're able to build it and give it the notoriety that the New Japan Cup has, I think that'd be a really big win for the company and for Tony Khan and for, you know, the Owen Hart Foundation. And like that to me would be like a really good goal. Like, hey, if you can make it matter like that does, you know, that's something to strive for, because, you know, the New Japan Cup can, like, it could serve as a launching mechanism, because it is, you are giving somebody like a pretty big prize at the end of it. They don't choose to, as you articulated well, they go with kind of like that, you know, almost world champion level guy. But it wouldn't have to be that way in AEW either. So, but I think, yeah, if we look back on this in 10 years and go, yeah, this really reminds me of the New Japan Cup, Tony Khan is going to be real, real proud of that. Ryan, back to you for your third question of the night.
Third question is, I've heard a story that AEW has been doing better ratings along the female viewership. And one of the reasons, I guess, is the Big Bang Theory is on before Dynamite, but is there a better reason that you can think of suddenly that more women are watching? Is it that there's someone that maybe they have a crush on the male side of the roster? Is it that they like the females, like they can relate to Jade or some other talent, or is there just some storyline that they're really intrigued by?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know how much of that you can really put on the lead-in, because also I don't know that the lead-in is necessarily the same everywhere. I guess it must be. I'm trying to remember what – I don't remember it being the Big Bang Theory that's on before I start Dynamite, but maybe it is. But, yeah, it's a good question. Javier, any thoughts on that? I don't have a good answer.
If I were to guess, is I think men have more tolerance for juvenile humor, which is, you know – which explains, you know, the WWE. And I think, you know, and I think it is, you know, the there's a lot more for everybody. It's treated more serious, even when you're talking about like the Danhausens and the Orange Cassidys of the world. It's not treated like you're booking for a 5-year-old, so even the comedy and the ha-ha, and I think that might, play into it, that it treats people like adults.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I also think I wonder about, you hear, like, when we have on-site correspondents on this show and on the WWE post shows, there's everybody that calls in generally has had a good time at both, even at the WWE shows. However, the environments that we hear about are significantly different. The AEW shows are like, hey, that was a heck of a time. Very much a party yeah. environment. And so that could play into it too, where it's like, you're there for the wrestling and you're there to see that, but you're also there for the environment. And so maybe that's, more attractive to that audience. It's a good question and something to watch, because WWE has really like turned a corner, that we, as we all know, on the women's wrestling that they put on television. And so I don't know what the comparison is between the numbers that WWE does with women compared to AEW, but I think it's interesting. It's an interesting topic to follow, especially as AEW, continues to gain traction and, become more of a, name brand moving forward. Ryan, back to you. Anything else for us tonight, or is that your final question?
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but do you know who these groupies are that hang out with Jade, like sit in like front row and sort of like, are connected to her somehow?
I don't know their names, Javier. Do you? Did any of them stand out to you?
Well, I think that comes from Twitter. I caught a little bit of that, where she basically wanted a section where she has attractive people, and that's basically it. And so she has like an attractive people section, essentially.
Okay.
Silver said that, oh, well, if she's getting that, I love this. I want a section of just sadly lonely men. Like, yeah, I'm there.
Did anybody in that the group that they showed tonight, like, did you recognize any of them as far as,
no,
hey, that's this talent or that talent?
No, nobody stood out to me.
Okay.
But honestly, I was not paying close attention, so.
Yeah, I tried to catch it, but nobody stood out to me, Ryan. But I think that's, yeah, Javier nailed like what the purpose of that group is. I don't think there was anybody, at least nobody significant to me, out there.
Yeah. Okay. So it's sort of like the WCW gimmick where they put like attractive woman in a section to get you to watch the product, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think this is more, character work for Jade than like an audience trick to get to get men 18 to 24 to watch. Certainly, I think that the agenda here is not that. This is another way to showcase Jade's character. So I don't think it's not a ratings ploy. It's certainly character based.
And eventually, we're going to see a wrestler in that section that's going to jump the
correct
jump
yes,
in a tiger.
Yes.
So I expect Toni Storm at some point to be sitting in that section if she's the one that goes after her.
Yeah, or just completely mow down that section too. Like, just attack them. I think that's a good bet to make. Fear. Ryan, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, thanks for making it. We will go next to Deke in Michigan. Deke, thanks for calling. What'd you think of Dynamite?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Just on that last thing right there, I think you're right, but I also think you're completely wrong.
Ouch.
I think they no, I think you're right, but I think you're completely wrong at the same time, because I saw what she wrote. It was on Instagram or something today or yesterday, whenever it was. The baddie squad is what she wants. And she said she's sick of like lonely heart looking men. And I mean, I'm not trying to kill anybody out there because I bought my tickets to see AEW in Detroit in a couple of months. But, I mean, look around. I think she's trying to do both. I think she's trying to get people to buy tickets. Hey, they don't know what her story is. Chris Jericho didn't even know what her story is, that she's married to a billion-dollar Major League Baseball player. I mean, or engaged, whatever she is. I mean, I don't think people know. And they're like, yeah, this is my chance. I'm going to go show Jade Cargill what I'm all about. And,
yeah, maybe.
And,
maybe.
Yeah, there might be some marks in there, too. But I think it's a little of both. So,
All right. We'll see. We'll check back in a couple months.
Because, like I said, man, I bought my tickets. So, you know.
No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, I mean, I got my tickets here for June. It should be a good time. It's about time they come to Detroit. But my only thing on the night is the Toni Storm thing. I got a couple of problems with it. First of all, it's another giant surprise. Oh, big surprise that they've been talking about for a week. And I'll be honest, guys. Did the crowd really go that nuts? I mean, she was on SmackDown, like, what, twice? In NXT?
Yeah.
You guys know me, man. I don't watch NXT. I've seen it a few times. I knew who she was. I don't know anything about her, though. And,
well,
you know, you guys know how many people watch NXT? 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 people a week. The crowd was not that into it. And my biggest problem on the night was you pumped this girl up. And you don't want to give it all away the first night, no question. But she's in the ring, and this debut, her fresh start, obviously affected her. She was, you saw maybe her eyes were welling up. She wasn't crying or anything. Welling up a little bit. She was obviously a little emotional. And
yeah.
We just cut away immediately, as they always do, because they got to get, you know, 3 months worth of stuff into 1 week, and we cut away to Vicky Guerrero. Which,
you know,
Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose, they aren't going anywhere. They're not doing anything. It's a nothing angle. They're going to fight Thunder Rosa. Nobody cares. And nobody's going to care. And they cut away from this brand, this debut, this, hey, this might be something. And they just cut away to nothing.
Look,
that's the way
I think you're right.
That might be me.
No, I think you're right. I mean, we chatted about this a little bit earlier, saying that, like, hey, yeah, they have to let stuff like that, like specifically that moment of her showing that emotion.
Let it breathe.
They gotta let that breathe. No question. And here's the thing, like, not everybody knows who Toni Storm is. She got a decent pop, I think. I think if you play it back, you got to go, okay, that was decent. It wasn't like CM Punk level. It wasn't Daniel Bryan level. Like, not that.
Sure, for
but
sure.
It was there. But the thing is, like, I think she is going to very much fall with my analysis of, like, when they brought in Jay White, like, you can't assume that people know who Toni Storm is. She was only on SmackDown for a handful of appearances, and she may only had like two or three matches, maybe. And on NXT, she was there and she was a player, but she wasn't, like, you know, the central figure of that show either. So Toni Storm has a lot of talent, and I think she's got a lot of charisma, but if they make the mistake with her that, hey, people are going to know who she is, we don't need to tell them, she's not going to end up realizing her full potential, and it won't totally be her fault. They absolutely, Javier, I think, have to start framing up these new additions. You ride the momentum of the debut, ride the momentum of kind of like the bellwether fans and the audience that do know her, ride that, but then build on it. Use that as the foundation, not as, like, you know, the final building block. Javier, what do you think?
Well, I mean, at this point, there's some stuff you just have to at some point realize this is how they do things. You know, with the WWE, we, you know, some people call it grading on a curve mm-hmm. because, you know, they do stuff and it's like, okay, well, you know, this is stupid, but this is how they do it. And, you know, so how do you, you know, how does it work based on how they do it? And that's what they do. I'm not one of the ones who've been like too hard on like, oh, you need to let everybody know, you know, in on who this person is, because the people, you know, paying in their tickets are usually going to be the ones that are more plugged in, for the most part. She has, you know, existed, she has an existence before NXT, which is actually where, you know, I knew her from outside of NXT. So she had already been around if you're, you know, more of a hardcore, you know, more into, mm-hmm. into the, you know, more plugged in. And she was the, one of the, I read an article today where they said she's the hottest, available, free agent. I think there are a couple other ones that you can make a case for, but she definitely is one of the, as far as women, one of the more sought after talents because of what she can do. She has some name recognition. And the idea is, you know, and I thought she had a good reaction when she came out. My concern was like it kind of died down, but that's also because she was in a, you know, match with the bunny. Could be a part of it.
Yeah,
true. You know, and then so I think that as long as they continue pushing her, the people who were like really curious as to, okay, who is she, might look, you know, would look her up. And other people would like, if they were attracted to what they saw today and they continue doing well, you know, well by her, and push her and put her in the right position, people just go along with her for the act, even if this is the first time you've ever seen her. You know, it's kind of the nature I equate wrestling into comic books. You may not have read Batman before, but at some point you're going to pick up an issue, and then you're just going to have to go with the flow at some point. You know, and if that's, you know, so that's kind of like, you know, eventually you're going to have to go to the flow with Toni Storm, as long as, you know, they continue producing good content with her.
Fair point. Deke, back to you. Any other comments or topics?
No, I think the last thing is it's up to her. She's going to have to do it right. But like what you said, you know, Right. But like you said, you were like, that's just how they do it. Well, there's a history of that's the way they do it, and it's wrong. I mean, look at all the guys they brought in. I mean, we just saw Jay Lethal this week or last week or whatever for the first time in months. You know, I mean, they just bring these guys in. And it – I'm sorry, man, that just isn't good enough, especially when you have been on every podcast. You have been on every Busted Open. You've been on every Sirius XM. You've been all over everything for the last week telling everybody you've got this major surprise. But then you just go, here she is. Sit. And then that, again, I know you don't want to blow the whole you don't want to blow the whole load tonight. But if I'm just a guy, and I watch 8 hours of wrestling a week, and someone out there is tell you if you don't watch ROH or whatever. Well, all right. I watch 8 hours of wrestling a week. That's a lot. Right?
Hey, Deke, I'm going to cut you off there for a quick.
I don't know anything, and I don't know anything about Toni Storm. So,
hey, Deke, I'm going to mute you real quick, man. I'm going to mute you real quick because you're kind of coming in and out, and we can't hear you all that great. So get that mic back, and I'll throw back to you in a quick second here. Javier, as far as the pattern that Deke is talking about there in terms of the debuts and the terms of, you know, you had Jay Lethal on the show today, debut, like big, you know, kind of quote unquote surprise, and then, you know, kind of fell off the map. Ruby Soho, same thing. You know, we'll see about Toni Storm. A couple other guys, though, you know, aren't that way either. You know, Adam Cole kind of merged into the lane of traffic. Bryan Danielson, big matches with Kenny Omega and Adam Page. You know, so I think there's a more of a mixed bag there than meets the eye. But you know, how do you grade you personally as an analyst, how do you grade their kind of avenue and strategy for the big announcements that they bring in?
Well, I think that a lot of the heat that they got for the whole big announcement thing was the Chris and Cage thing.
You know, fair.
And to be fair, that was I think that started with the Big Show, who oversold the Chris and Cage, and then when the people started asking Tony Khan, instead of Tony Khan, like, you know, lowering the temperature, say, hey, yeah, look, you're reading too much into it. Just lower, you know, lower your expectations. He just kept, he didn't know how to lower the expectations. He just kept feeding it. Outside of that, I mean, I'm of the mindset that you don't want to promise too much. Like when I go see a movie, I'd like to go with lowered expectations so the movie could surprise me being better than it is. Because if I go into a movie with high expectations, even if it's a great movie, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, but it wasn't great, which is why when I recommend somebody, I no longer go, oh yeah, this is the best movie I've ever seen, is because then when they watch it, I was like, yeah, it was a good, but it wasn't like the best movie I've ever seen. You know, you hurt, you know, the expectations. So I think he should tone that down a little bit and occasionally leave surprises. I thought that the way they handled, now I didn't see interviews and stuff with Tony Khan and stuff like that when it came to Tony Storm. All I knew was that Bunny was going to have a mystery opponent, and that's all I knew about that. So then, you know, Tony Storm fit from what I'd seen. So I didn't see it over, you know, hyped outside of what their TV shows are. You know, but you know, obviously if he had been doing the rounds, making interviews and talking about it in every single interview, I wasn't privy to that. I thought that was fine. In terms of like, cause I mean, the thing is that, cause there are two questions there. Cause in terms of surprises, I think they're okay. In terms of how they've used some of the talent, I got to ask, like, you know, cause in the article I read today, Tony Khan was hyped to hire, Tony Storm. I don't know if he was as hyped with Ruby Soho. You know, I mean, he got her the song and everything. Maybe, like, didn't like some of the early stuff, and that's kind of why she hadn't been around. Maybe the people didn't buy into Ruby Soho as much as he had hoped. So that might be why she went away. I don't know what the story with Jay Lethal is. You know, maybe it's just that he's buying so many people, and then, like, oh, we'll figure a place for him later, and then just doesn't get around to it. And you can tell that sometimes he falls in love with some people where they're, you know, Dante Martin, and this time I got it correctly, he was like on every show for a bit. You know, Private Party for a while was on every show for a bit. You know, so yeah, I mean, I think that like the ones that really stood out are the people who keep finding themselves on TV more and more often. You know, Brian Cage just, you know, is gone, you know, disappeared, while other people, like, you know, I mean, obviously Danny Bryan, but, you know, there are other people who've surprised. Eddie Kingston, big perfect example, is somebody who, you know, really surprised and has earned the spot that he currently has. I'd like to see other people who've kind of disappeared, like Ruby Soho, get a longer, you know, another shot and a little bit more time. And yeah, I mean, I could go on for a lot more, but yeah.
No, it's a good answer. I mean, yeah, look, there's hits and misses. And I think if you're Ruby Soho, you're like, if the question I'd be asking Tony Khan, if that's, you know, if she did fall out of favor, was like, well, you know, I had these matches, but then that's really it. There wasn't a lot of character development. There wasn't a lot of like, this is who I am, and this is why you should get behind me. There's some of it, but not a ton.
And that might be a product of the environment, because we've heard some stories now from some wrestlers saying that you're pretty much on your own. So
right.
You have to fight for your piece of the 2 hours of TV that's going to be on there. You know, and So I think that also might have something to play with why some of these people disappear, where they don't feel comfortable with a voice and don't have anybody to speak for them. You know what I mean? And in a way, you know, which is very different from, like, you know, another company that might be doing it, where everything is like, you know, We have the certain, you know, tasks for everybody. And in that case, you know, the cream rises to the top. You might also run into situations where, you know, politics comes into play, and hopefully, you know, that is not a big, you know, a big aspect of it. 'Cause then that would suck, whether it's not how good you are, it's who you know, that would suck. So, but you know, I mean, and from what you heard in that infamous Shida interviews, like, you know, because of the language barrier, some of the Japanese talent, you know, felt like they, you know, they didn't have a voice because it was hard to communicate. And that's why, you know, some Japanese talent just, you know, vanished from the programming.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. And I don't know, you know, it's tough. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing either. Like, I think, you know, when you said it, like, cream rises to the crop. So if you're back there not advocating for yourself, and you know that you need to be, like, I think that's telling, you know, and it means that some talent will fall through the cracks because they're not taking that initiative, and some talented talent I think would fall into that, but you know, it kind of is what it is in that regard. If that is the environment, like, you got to play the game.
And one of the things I would recommend, that if you're a person who is, you know, more shy and harder to, you know, really get, you know, really get attention, it might be time to bring back originally what managers used to do, you know, actual people.
Sure.
That you would hire that would handle that aspect of that business. 'Cause, you know, it's part of the business, and, you know, hire somebody to do that for you. And if they raise, you know, they help raise your status and you make more money out of it, you know, everybody makes more money in that respect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Absolutely. We're going to tag Deke back in here. Deke, are you there? And hopefully we can hear you.
Yeah. Hey, sorry guys. I'm sorry. You lost me, man. Great points there. The only thing I would say to what you guys just said was, I think you are right. The cream does rise to the top, but you mentioned a few names, Cole, Danielson, Punk. Well, those are guys that were already over. And all the rest of these names that the internet or whoever or the underground like a Ruby Soho, oh, she should be pushed. She should be pushed. Oh, my gosh. And it's not just her, but all of them, where are they now? They're right back where they were, aren't they? So what does that tell you? I'm sorry, you know, I'm not the only person I know saying it, but people don't want to say that. And
yeah.
Come on, it's true. Look at it. Every single one of those people, for the most part, I'm sure you could probably name one or two both ways. But the ones you mentioned, Danielson, Punk, Cole, I mean, those guys, and Cole's taking a lot of heat right now because he's a smaller guy and whatnot, but they were already over, and, you know, of course they're going to be over, but all the people who were the indie darlings, the internet darlings, well, where are they right now? They're fighting on the opening match of Dark.
Yeah, well, some are.
I just think people need to look at that, you know. I just think people need to look at it for a second and maybe, you know, take the rose-colored glasses off a little bit. And, you know, I'll say the same thing about the big shows, two shows coming up this weekend, because I know everybody's going to go, oh, you're just some e-drone or whatever. Yeah, there's about 3 good matches out of 15 in 2 nights. So, you know, so don't give me that. You know what I mean?
No, you're good, Deke.
Yeah, don't give me that.
Anything else stand out on about Dynamite tonight?
No, that was really it, man. That really did stand out because, you know, I was looking forward to it, unfortunately. And again, I think Tony sets himself up for this. I know he's trying to pump his show. And, of course, he should. I mean, he's the promoter. He's got a ton of money in this. So, of course, he's going to pump. He just needs to maybe pump the brakes a little bit, you know. He gets so excited about this stuff, and, you know, you pump this thing and you think Hogan in 86 is coming out, and that's, you know, not the case. No, that was really it. I didn't think the show was terrible by any stretch. I didn't think anything was great. It was a fine show. It was a fine, you know, nothing bad, nothing good, just fine. I'll be one of these guys again. I don't know that I need CM Punk fighting every week and going 10 or 15 minutes or so with normal guys. You know, that's been well talked about. I don't think we need to get into that too much.
Yeah,
that's been
yeah.
talked about quite a bit. Other than that, no, the show was fine. No, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't
yeah.
good. It was fine. Fine show.
Good stuff, Deke. Thanks for
appreciate
calling, man.
You guys
I really appreciate
always,
it.
Man.
Hey, yeah, guys, man, call again.
Go VIP. The Torch is it, man. Been VIP for, I think, 11 or 12 years now. Please go do it. They're awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, man. pwtorch.com/govip if you're interested. And as I said at the top, this is the week to give us a shot. A lot going on, and we got it covered. And I think it's a real enjoyable time to kind of test what we do on the VIP side of the house. So pwtorch.com/govip. All right, up next, Bryant in Boston. Bryant, thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. What do you think of Dynamite tonight?
Praise the Lord, the era of Tony Storm is here, hopefully. I was looking forward to a long time for her making her debut, and she finally did. I thought it was kind of interesting that they showed, like, the Jade Cargill section before the match, maybe a little foreshadowing of what's to come, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I'm with Javier. If Tony Storm is going to take on Jade Cargill for the TBS title, she better win it. That's all I have to say about that, because... I mean, if it was like Thunder Rosa or something like that, then I'd be fine with her, you know, putting her over. But I think if you're bringing in somebody that you've hyped that much and, you know, obviously do a slow build, but somebody's going to have to beat Cargill eventually. And I think Storm should be the one, to be honest, provided, you know, she does well for herself and and they build it up pretty well. But I have a couple of issues with what Deke said. Number one, he said he doesn't know much about Toni Storm. Dude, go to a Wikipedia page and read about her. It's not that hard. Take 5 minutes out of your day. Point number two, he said that Adam Cole was already over. I don't know if you looked at the last few years, but Adam Cole was never on the main roster, so you can't argue that he was over, at least in the terms of CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. That is it's a far cry from being a main star of NXT and being on the actual main roster and being a star, so he's kind of off on that point, too. But anyway, I thought the show was almost perfect. I mean, I give it – I mean, last week's show, the second hour, sucked, and I think Tony Khan saw the quarterly hours from Brandon Thurston, how it like took a major nosedive with Vicky Guerrero's segment, which was probably the worst segment of AEW I've ever seen, other than maybe the first.
It may have been.
But I think the fact that she didn't say excuse me once, at least not in that loud, shrill, annoying, change the channel. I think that probably came from the top, like Khan said. We're losing viewers. Don't do that again.
Yeah, hey, Bryant, let me jump in here. I want to ask Javier about Nyla Rose. So, you know, Wade talked about it last week, you know, and they did a few minutes on it in regards to Nyla Rose being like the first challenger out of the gate for, you know, a babyface champion. How do you see her on the show right now? Is that like her ceiling? I thought tonight, like, she still has a presence about her. I don't think she has a lot of range, you know, in terms of like the matches that she can have, but she does have that presence. And I kind of think that, like, it's not such a bad thing that she's that kind of benchmark first feud out for Thunder Rosa. It's somebody that can be menacing as a heel. It's somebody who you can look at and see and go, wow, she could take the belt off Thunder Rosa, but it's also somebody that Rosa can beat and beat cleanly and definitively and kind of just like put a notch on her belt as far as her championship reign goes. So I think I'm okay with it. You know, as long as it doesn't stretch over 3 months, I think you're going to have some of these feuds, especially in AEW's women division, where it's not that deep at the top of the card.
She is Lance Archer.
She's Lance Archer. Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know.
End of analysis.
I mean, that's that's it. I mean, you know, someone with a presence who's a threat and is going to be the first opponent you're going to have to prove that you know to solidify the title reign. And I mean, that's a good position to be.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. So it's not just me then. All right, Brian, back to you. Any other comments for us tonight, man, on tonight's show?
Just to crack a little bit of humor, there's a big difference between Thunder Rosa beating Nyla Rose and Riho beating Nyla Rose, which was ridiculous. That was just Kenny Omega being stupid. Riho's not a bad talent. You shouldn't have someone who weighs less than, what, like an average 12-year-old girl beating someone who's like close to 300 pounds or something. I don't know if that's what Nyla Rose weighs or something, but she's definitely well over 200, that's for sure. Anyway, I thought the show was nearly perfect. I thought the ending of the main event got a little too cluster-esque, you know, at the end, but mm-hmm. it was just a way to get the Hardys on TV, so I can't complain too much of it. So, I mean, this is probably one of the best Dynamite shows I've seen in some time. They didn't have any stupid comedy BS. The CM Punk, I think, is probably going to be the next ROH. Just to get him back to me. I think he's going to be the next AEW champion. I think he's probably going to beat Adam Page because I cannot see, maybe you make an argument for Adam Cole winning the belt and Page so that Punk doesn't have to be a heel or something, but I don't know. That lost Orange Cassidy, call it unsanctioned, if you will, as Wade likes to needle me with a little bit. But that losing to, pardon my French, but losing to the Orange dipshit, that really irreparably damages him in my eyes. Kind of like John Cena when he was WWE champion, like way back at the beginning of 2007, put over Kevin Federline in a match. I've never looked at him the same way again. That was stupid. But
you're harder on him than I would be. I mean, Orange Cassidy. I mean, yes, like there's. With the way they present him now, there's a ceiling on how high he can get in the company. There was a time there where I thought that, hey, like he, you know, if you frame him a little bit differently and not stay strictly in the comedy area.
Match.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like you could have taken it a different direction. But Chris Jericho did a job for Orange Cassidy and he was fine, you know? So I don't think it's going to totally, it has totally derailed Cole, but I mean, you know, it's certainly a talking point though.
It's worth pointing out though, that Jericho is a guy in his late 40s, early 50s, who's already a legend and he really doesn't need the wins. Adam Cole is a guy in his early 30s who needs the wins, and having him job out Cassidy was a terrible booking decision.
Well, and he was on tap to wrestle for the world title, like a few.
Yeah, you can't have him lose like that beforehand.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. As always, make sure to call again.
All right. Sure thing. Have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. We're going to wrap up the caller portion of the show right there. We've got some emails to get through here, Javier. Some good ones, some really good and some fresh topics too, that we haven't gotten to yet. Before we jump into that though, Javier, just talk about what you do with the Torch, man. You got a big, pay-per-view primer coming up this weekend for WrestleMania. You tease that a bit, but just talk about the New Japan Pride podcast and just where people can get more of your stuff on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I was doing the New Japan Pride podcast. Currently on hiatus because I'm just really far behind on just about everything. you know, so since the since the basically the what was it, the G1 kind of like pushed off a lot of things because of the G1, and now that ended up catching up, and you know how the spiral thing is, and I'm a completionist, so I got to watch everything, so I'm behind. I also do the primers and occasionally other stuff. So co-host, I'm also on a lot of the post on the post post show the post show thing, this thing here. I usually do the little round table with Wade or you at the end of the night with my own little jingle, which makes me happy. So.
Yes. Where can we follow you on social media?
I'm on Twitter on something, but I don't do social media. I'll look it up and say it later.
Fair enough. All right. Good stuff. But
I should just memorize it easy. At Jay Machado LK. You can follow me. I never tweet anything out, and my goal is to have as many followers as possible with never having tweeted the thing out.
You know, you could tweet something out, Javier. Like, holding you back.
It is. That's my goal. Is never tweet anything out. Although I came close, and I think it was Thunder Rosa. It might have been Thunder Rosa. I may be wrong. Who tweeted out, who's the most famous person you've ever met? And I'm like, I got the winning answer.
Well, do tell.
Michael Jackson.
Okay. Wow.
So, pretty much like one of the more famous people in the world that people,
know. Right, well, now I got to hear the story, though. So how did you meet Michael Jackson?
Oh, I worked for Electronics Boutique, and when I was in the Aventura store, he would shop there. So he was down here in Miami. So I met him twice there, and then I also met him during Bill Clinton's inauguration. I won tickets to go to the American Gala, I think it was called. And he was there and, got to meet a couple of, not meet, but like I was in the room with, a couple of famous celebrities.
Wow. Look at you, Javier. That's
that was my brush with him. And that's one of the things, like, I'll win that. Because, like, outside of, like, Jesus Christ, I mean, Elvis, if he's still around,
Yeah, no, that is kind of a trump card. That is kind of a trump card, for sure. All right, let's get into some emails here. We'll start with James and Clemson. Wade and guest, Zach and Javier. It's a little over 2 hours before Dynamite starts here, and I would like to voice a complaint that I have. The announcement of quote-unquote next week's Dynamite card has been terrible lately. It seems like every week the card is released on the day of Dynamite and has been especially frustrating for me this week. I live about an hour from Columbia, South Carolina. I've been on the fence for months now as to whether or not to get tickets and hoping to see the card first. Prior to today, only 3 matches were announced, and the new women's signing was not very intriguing to me. Now that a Punk match and a Danielson match has been announced, I'm kind of annoyed because I could have been on my way to Columbia right now. I'm just concerned because AEW has been acting more like WWE lately. Did they just make some matches this morning and roll with it? I feel like getting butts in seats is not the priority. Now I will be missing out on seeing CM Punk because of all this uncertainty. Thanks for reading, James in Clemson. Javier, they have kind of, the last couple of weeks especially, rolled out a bunch of matches like the day of Dynamite. I wouldn't raise the warning flags up on that yet, James, just because it's, it's 2 weeks, and they're normally pretty good about it. But it is something to watch, Javier, moving forward. I think for a while, they really were smart about setting up matches weeks in advance and knowing kind of what was coming, trying to make them feel like a big deal. That is taking a little bit of a backseat, but I don't know that I'm, sound the alarm quite yet. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how they advertised it because I don't think you need to like announce every single match you're going to have, but you do want to know what your top stars are going to be doing and if they're going to be there. So CM Punk will be there, Moxley will be there, and you don't have to say that necessarily they're going to have a match or they're going to have a talking segment or whatever, but at least let people know that they're going to be involved. Because CM Punk missed a day, didn't he?
What do you mean?
Like he wasn't on one of the shows.
It was right after Revolution.
Yeah, so, you know, that would have been disappointing of like, you know, I'm going to go expecting to see Punk, you know, and he's not there. I would like to know whether he's going to be there, if it's a, you know, something that, and like I said, even in a talking segment, you know, I think people will be okay with, you know, so that's kind of, I don't think you need to necessarily have every single, because you might like just, you know, paint yourself into a corner if something has to change. But, you know, just your main, you know, your 2, 3, 4 main event, you know, main matches, and then, you know, whether the person is appearing or not.
I think that's smart, you know, because look, if Brian Danielson, God, I said it earlier and I wanted to correct myself and I just almost did it again. If Brian Danielson's on the card and on the show, like that's something you want to promote. Same thing with CM Punk and same thing with like Jon Moxley. Like, I think that's something you want to get, that you want to get out there, not just for ticket sales, but like not just to address James's issue here, but just for ratings too. Like if people know that, hey, it's going to be Danielson against Wheeler Yuta, like, okay, maybe that's interesting to somebody, or people that just want to watch Brian Anderson matches. Like, I think you want to be a little bit buttoned up with that, with those guys. And then, you know, you kind of fill in the gaps, around that. But those guys are the ones, you know, selling tickets. So I think it is smart to position them better than they have been as far as promotion goes the last couple of weeks.
And at the same time, I don't know, like, if CM Punk versus Max Caster, you know, no offense to Max Caster, would be something that I'm going to, like, because, I mean, if I say, oh, this is the opening match for the show, I don't know if I'm, like, going to, oh, you know what, I need to hurry up and watch it and watch it live, or, you know, I could wait a couple hours or wait until tomorrow.
Yeah, because, yeah, fair point, and a good one, because you don't, like, there's no intrigue as to, like, who's winning that match, right? Like, yes, you could watch Punk wrestle, but like, you're not missing anything. You know how that thing's gonna, you know how it's gonna go, for the most part. Okay, back to the emails here. Joe in New York. Hey guys, it took CM Punk 7 months to say what he should have said no later than week 2 of his AEW run. He finally said he's there to be and wants to be AEW champion. I will give Punk credit. He is now in good ring shape. He has knocked off the ring rust and looks good in the ring, and I believe he's ready for a title run. AEW needs a real world champion, and they need to present their champion like a real champion. CM Punk would get that job done. Joe from New York. Joe, thanks. Yeah, I think so too. Like, I give CM Punk a bit of a pass on the championship mission statement thing. Ordinarily, Javier, I think I'd agree with Joe on this, but, you know, the guy was off for 7 years, and you just never know how that first match is going to go. Like, if, okay, wow, this was a great idea, let's keep going, or holy crap, yeah, I don't want any part of this, or not, maybe I want this, but I can't do it at a championship level. So I'm more lenient on like the slow burn that CM Punk took to get to this position, just because I think he had to figure out, like, can he still go? What level can he go at? And does he want to go at that level? But now it's clear, I think, Javier, that he's in this, and he's having good matches, and it looks like he's got his timing back. He's got his look back a little bit. So now's the time. And yeah, ideally you want all your stars, I think, to have that focus of the championship. But for him, there's some extenuating circumstances there.
Yeah, and from, you know, when you listen to interviews with wrestlers, it's also the whole callus, you know, situation where you got to build up your calluses because, you know, the bumps hurt.
Yes. Good point. Yeah, I mean, for sure. And it's like, you know, you just don't know how that process is going to go after a seven-year
And cardio.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was blown up in the first couple of matches he had.
He was, yeah. Well, because, like, you know, a lot of wrestlers say, like, look, yeah, you can do all the cardio you want. It you can't replicate, you know, a 20-minute match outside the ring any other way. So, yeah, you got to kind of get your feet wet. And I think also that's why, you know, you started off with Darby Allin and not Kenny Omega. You know, like, you want to have – if you're going to have the Kenny Omega match – you want to have your feet under you a little bit. You want to have your timing back. You want to know that you can, like, what you can and can't do in the ring. And so, you know, I think he was smart to kind of go slow with that. And now, you know, now he's off to the races. All right, we'll let's see here. We'll go to JB from Detroit next. He's got an email here about the Acclaimed. Hey, it's JB from Detroit. The Acclaimed have seemingly gotten relatively strong opportunities since they've become a tag team in AEW, including tonight against CM Punk. I've actually been really impressed in the growth I've seen in both Caster and Owens in terms of Bowens in terms of mic work and in ring wrestling. In your opinion, do you see the Acclaimed getting a tag title run at any point? Also, who do you see, if either, having the most singles potential if or when they split up as a team? Thanks as always. Love the show. And go VIP. PWTorch.com/goVIP. Thank you, JB. Javier, over to you first on this one. Where do you see the Acclaimed going as a tag team? And who's going to be the standout singles star of the two?
Okay. Never say never to them winning the tag titles. But just look at what you have in the tag division.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be more of a gate kind of role for now. You know, maybe they'll at some point project something different and they'll come across differently. But I think that's a long ways away. And I mean, in terms of singles, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that my gut reaction would be Matt Caster ends up being a more vocal kind of act. I think I prefer the other guy's name. I'm going to mispronounce it if I say it.
Anthony Bowens.
Bowens. I was going to say Bowdens. Bowens. I knew I was going to mispronounce it. Bowens. I think I like him in the ring better. But, I think it's still early for them.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think the Acclaimed, it's not that they're not a good tag team. It's just there's a lot there. I mean, there's just a lot there. I mean, when you think about, obviously the Young Bucks, FTR, you know, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, but then you got the House of Black, like they're pretty hot. You've got Santana and Ortiz. You've got like the Jericho Appreciation Society, like multiple combinations of those guys could work. So it's a crowded, Top Flight, like it's a crowded field. So I kind of see them in more like a gatekeeper role too, and not, you know, at the top of the division.
An example would be kind of like Eddie Edwards on Impact, you know, where they could be a household name for AEW, where that you can use in a lot of different formats where you need to, you know, have somebody beat, you know, they have some sort of equity so that like when you need a team to get, you know, hot for a title run, you have them beat them. So.
Yeah, I think exactly. Yeah, like the Lance Archer of the tag team division.
I mean, this is a little bit more gatekeepery, but yeah.
sure. And I'm with you too on Max Caster. I think he's got I just think his ring work is more polished already, and there's just a charisma there on the mic that I think there's a swagger too that I think so far just is brighter than Bowens. That does for the emails here. Before we wrap up, I want to get your thought on a topic that we haven't discussed yet. It was brought up by one of the callers, but we didn't land on a question. And that is the Danielson Yuta match and the Moxley Jay Lethal match, two kind of singles matches for those guys. But, you know, obviously we've seen them presented together. I thought both those matches were really good, like two of the standout matches of the night. Yuta held his own with Danielson. I thought that was, you know, kind of a moment for him when he kind of turned the tide and started those elbows on Danielson. The crowd popped loud. So there's something there. But this chapter of the development of that unit, Regal, Danielson, Moxley. What did you think?
Well, also in that match was a near fall that really had people going, that you almost got on Brian. And the spit, that was the other moment, the defiance. You know, he knew that he was about to get his head kicked in, and he spits in his face. I thought that was a really well done match, and for the story that they're telling, where I'm assuming that Yuta is eventually going to be, you know, welcomed into that group. And then the other thing I thought of, the Moxley thing, is someone brought it up, and I had it in my notes that I really liked the fact that Moxley did not shake his hand in the beginning and then shake Lethal's hand at the end of the match, because of what he had said earlier, that he first needs to bleed with somebody before he can, you know, team with somebody.
Yep.
And that's kind of a playoff on that, where he had no respect for Lethal because he only respects people who could fight, and then Lethal gave him a good fight, ended up putting Lethal over in that situation. So, I really enjoyed both of those things. Kind of would be, you know, kind of questioning why Regal comes out for Bryan and not Moxley. So
yeah.
Maybe
it's a long walk. It's a long walk to the ring with you as Moxley.
So, you know, so there's that. And one of the other things, a little thing I noticed, which I actually liked a lot, was Excalibur standing up for himself with Regal, because Regal said, Excalibur said that Daniel Bryan is Bryan Danielson is one of the best wrestlers of the world, and Regal said, "What do you mean one of?" And he goes, "I stand by my statement."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Hey, you know, that was like not a that was kind of, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a skit or anything they set up, but it was just something that happened in passing." And I'm like, you know, hey, he stood his ground. I like that for Excalibur, yeah. You know, because he's your, you know, your play by play guy, so.
Yeah, that was good. I noticed that too. And it just made you focus on the commentary a little bit too, and not necessarily Excalibur, but like Regal. Like, I think like the presence in that interaction like made it kind of, it gave Regal a reason to be there, and that it wasn't just because they were going back and forth. It wasn't just, he wasn't just a mouthpiece, like just yammering on. It was like, hey, he's interacting with these guys. And I think that's important when they have those guests, commentators. MJF, they do it really well with MJF on commentary too, you know, and back and forth with him. So, really good catch. Anything else in your notes, Javier, that we didn't get to before we, put a bow on this thing?
Question for you. When did Shafir show up? Did I miss something?
So what do you mean show up?
Like to AEW?
Oh, no, this is going to be filed in Deke's kind of his category, his line of thinking. She's been on Dark quite a bit, and Dark Elevation, but there's not been a connection from those appearances and those wins to Dynamite at all, outside of like that short little video package that they did today. So she's been, it's been a handful of months that she's been wrestling on Dark.
Okay. I saw the package and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of footage for her in AEW for me
yeah.
not having heard her appear yet. And, you know, I was like, did I miss something? You know, like, but yeah, so, you know, I mean, and good for them playing that package, because since she's going to be Jade's next opponent, you know, good on them for showing it, so we know who she is. So that's actually a plus on that. It's just weird that she's been around for months and has not like had any presence or even like, you know, a quote unquote job match or anything. But interesting. I'm interested in seeing how that match turns out.
I am too. I mean, I think she's a good opponent for Jade. You know, obviously, I think Jade's still the focus there, and it is good that they ran that video package tonight for sure. I just think, you know, you want to just do a little more too. And maybe that's the start of something, but she's had, quite a few appearances down on Dark. And so she's one of the people right now that they padded the record, so this match can happen, and now they'll have it. But, you know, not everybody from Dark gets those video packages. So that is a step in the right direction. Anything else, man?
I'm happy to see the librarian get a cameo. So
there you go.
I think that pretty much
one.
Wraps everything up, I think.
Yep. All right. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you to all the callers. Thank you to our emailers. Again, Wade will be on the VIP side of things tonight, running down the show with his analysis on the Wade Keller Hotline. You can check that out by going VIP, pwtorch.com/goVIP. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Haydorn. You can go VIP. Check out my weekly audio show on the Canvas. It's a show that focuses on the art of wrestling. It's current, so we take a current event from the world of wrestling and we just analyze that from an artistic angle, looking at the art. This week will be all things WrestleMania, so we'll do a WrestleMania preview show, look at the art of the builds to every single match on both nights. You can check that out tomorrow or Friday on the PW Torch VIP feeds. Again, it's pwtorch.com/goVIP. And then this weekend, folks, keep it locked to pwtorch.com. We'll have all the news of the weekend out of Dallas. We've got some editorials going up. We'll have show reports on multiple shows under GCW's The Collective banner, Ring of Honor, the Impact shows, and of course the WWE Hall of Fame and WrestleMania. So we got you covered. So make sure that you're making pwtorch.com a stop as you consume all the wrestling coming up here in a few days. Javier, thank you so much for joining the show. It's a blast to talk to you. You always bring a wealth of knowledge, and it's just always fun, man. And so one more time with some plugs and let's get those Twitter followers up, man. I want you to achieve this goal.
Yeah, at Jay Machado, LK, and be on the lookout for the primer, hopefully out tomorrow or by Friday. It is WrestleMania with 900 matches, so I'm halfway done, and it's already taking me like, yeah. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for now.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. For Javier, I'm Zach. We'll catch you guys next time.